No more trouble. Broad did what he'd been doing ever since they locked him in this cell. He paced back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was only 5 steps from one side to the other, and those were small ones, but he paced anyway, and while he paced, he chewed over and over all the stupid things he'd done to land himself here. Sometimes he kicked the wall, or dug his aching fist into his sore hand, or slapped himself hard enough to hurt. Seemed he couldn't help hurting people. With no one else to hand, he hurt himself. He'd promised no more trouble, then let himself get sucked in yet again. High treason would be the charge. He was guilty as hell, and there was only one punishment. Savine wouldn't be saving him this time. She was locked up too, somewhere in this buried warren of a place. She couldn't even save herself. He made a promise then. If, by some undeserved twist of fate, he wriggled free of this, he'd live for Liddy and May. "No more trouble," he whispered, and he ground his forehead against the rough stone wall. "No more." He swore it one more time. Then he heard footsteps beyond the heavy door. They were coming. To ask their questions, or just drag him straight to the scaffold. He clenched his fists, but he knew fighting would do no good. It was fighting landed him here in the first place. The key scraped in the lock, his breath coming fast through his clenched teeth as he watched the door creak open. A face showed at the gap. Not the black-masked practical he'd expected. A small woman, cheeks full of broken veins. She looked nervous, like she hadn't known what to expect. Then, when she saw him standing there, she broke into a beaming smile.
"Brother, you're free!"
Broad couldn't do much but stare.
"I'm what?"
"Free!"
She shook a ring of keys at him.
"We all are!"
And she vanished, leaving the door wide open. He heard laughter out there now, cheering and singing. Was that a high little flute playing somewhere? Like a rowdy market day in the village when he was a boy. He nudged his lenses up his nose, scraped his courage together, and went to the door.
"Brava!"
A man wearing bright new armour spotted with blood hauled Broad out into the mould-stained corridor, but the way you'd greet a long-lost comrade rather than the way you'd drag a convict to their death.
"You're free!"
They were unlocking the cells, and with each door flung open they'd give a cheer, and at each prisoner pulled out they'd give another. Armoured men hugged a woman must have spent months in the darkness, pale and shrivelled, squinting at the light like it hurt her.
"What's your name, sister?"
She just sat against the wall, floppy as a rag doll.
"Is it Greece?"
she whispered. Broad saw one of her hands was all smashed, crooked fingers bloated like sausages. Someone clutched at his shirt.
"Have you seen my son?"
An old man with wild, weepy eyes.
"Do you know where my son is?"
Broad brushed him off.
"I don't know anything."
Someone threw their arms around him from behind, and he had to smother an instinct to lash out with an elbow.
"Ain't it wonderful?"
A girl no older than 16, with a patchy shawl about her shoulders, crying and smiling at once.
"Ain't it wonderful?"
And she grabbed someone else, and they danced a floppy jig together and barged over an old woman who'd been brandishing a mop with a knife tied to the end. She nearly stabbed Broad with it as she fell. Maybe he should have felt a caper coming on himself at his unexpected taste of freedom. But Broad had seen this mix of mad joy and mad anger before, during the uprising in Valbec. Knowing how that turned out didn't make him want to dance, made him want to slip back to his cell and lock himself in. There were breakers among the crowd, veterans with shiny new gear Broad well recognised. the arms and armour he'd brought from Ostenholm on Savine's orders, and handed over to Judge in return for the breaker's support. Looked like they'd risen up after all, just on their own timetable. Broad had to push against a joyful current of people to get up the steps into a wider, brighter hallway. A man in a leather apron ran past laughing, a wedge of documents clutched to his chest, papers slipping out and flapping to the floor. Another man bashed at a lock with a heavy ale flagon. This was where the music was coming from, a woman sitting cross-legged with some clerk's tall hat jammed down to her eyebrows, eyes closed as she tooted jauntily on her flute. And shuffling through the madness, freed as unexpectedly as Broad himself, came his old employers, the Lord and Lady Governor of Angland. Even with his lenses on, it took him a moment to recognise them. The young lion had his right arm around his wife's shoulders, his gaunt face scattered with scabs and twisted with pain, moving in lurching hops, with his left arm uselessly dangling and one trouser leg rolled up to the stump. Savine had one arm around her husband, the other under her swollen belly, struggling along with back bent and teeth bared, tufts of dark hair sticking from the bandages around her head. They'd owned the world, these two. Now look.
Broad!
Savine clung to his arm painfully tight, a sheen of sweat on her blotchy face.
Thank the fates you're here!
The warble in her voice made him think of that terrified waif who'd begged for his help on the barricades of Valbeck. Brock was clinging to the wall with his fingernails to stay upright.
What the hell's happening? Not sure, but their gear...
Broad nodded at one of the armed men, lowering his voice.
It's from your armory in Ostenholm.
Savine worked out in a blink what Broad had been slowly putting together.
The breakers have stormed the Agriant? She whispered. They've what?
Squeaked her husband.
We'd best get out while we can, said Broad. Find a safe place.
Savine's eyes were huge and scared and bloodshot in the shadows.
Is there a safe place?
Broad had no answer. He held out his other hand to Brock, the one with the tattoo on the back. You could see how much it hurt him to need the help, but this was no time for pride. Wasn't easy steering a pregnant woman and a one-legged man through that jostling crowd of rescuers and looters. Beyond a set of broken double doors, men smashed and laughed, turned over furniture, flinging armfuls of fluttering papers in the air.
That was my father's office, whispered Savine as they hobbled past.
Inside that room, the all-powerful Archlector Glockter had ordered life and death with a flick of his pen. Times had changed, all right.
Lord Marshal Brint, called Brock. You're alive!
Just barely.
A grey-haired man was pressed against one wall. He'd a trace of military bearing, if you squinted, underneath a filthy officer's jacket with all markings of rank ripped off. Brock reached out to shake his hand, not the easiest thing to do, since Brint had only one, and Brock only one that worked.
They took me prisoner before you landed. Lord Bloody Huygen spilled his guts the moment we were caught.
Brock shook his head.
What a crowd of useless bastards the Open Council turned out to be.
Who, Savine forced through clenched teeth, could have guessed? They struggled out, blinking into bright daylight, down the steps at the front of the House of Questions, the wind chill on Broad's face. Should have been a relief, but the crowds outside were madder than ever, cheering and chanting, brandishing lit torches and swords and broken furniture. Papers scattered everywhere, drifts like snow ankle deep. Folk were flinging heaps of them from the windows, blowing about on the wind, yesterday's secrets suddenly worthless. Place stank of smoke. A laughing man had blood all over his hands. Broad felt cold as he realized a smug-looking bastard not far away had a head spiked on his spear. Its back was to Broad, so he couldn't see the face. Put him in mind of Musalia, a bag of foul memories he tried never to open.
"It's the young lion!"
someone called, and suddenly folk were crowding around them, reaching out for Leo.
"Look, it's Leo Dunbrock!"
"Can't be him."
"I saw him at his triumph."
"Where's his leg?"
"Lost it in the cause of freedom. The young lion!"
"Please." Leo struggled to hold them back with his one good arm.
"Let me..."
"He's a bloody hero!"
A big man dropped down behind Brock, and before anyone could do a thing about it, he'd stood, hoisting the young lion high into the air on his shoulders. Someone struck up a martial tune on an old violin, one that Broad had marched to out in Styria. Folk danced and saluted and patted the stump of the young lion's leg like he was some bloody mascot. Whether it made any real sense or not, seemed they'd got their own successful rebellion and Brock's failed one mixed up into one thing.
"Still bowing to the nobles?"
A fellow with heavy brows that met in the middle had come up with quite the scowl.
"Where's your fucking dignity?"
he snarled at the man who had Brock on his shoulders.
"Carried these bastards on our backs all our lives, haven't we? Ain't we all equal now?"
Broad could feel the mood shifting. There were doubting looks pointed his way and Savine's way too. If they realized she was the daughter of the man who'd tortured thousands in the building right behind...
"Hold these."
Broad handed his lenses to Brint. Then he realized the ex-Lord Marshal couldn't hold Savine and the lenses at once, so he tucked them in Brint's jacket pocket and turned back to the crowd, which had become a mass of smeared colour.
"I was at Stauffenbeck,"
the fellow with the brows was snarling,
"and he didn't fight for the fucking people. All he did..."
Broad's fist smashed into his blurred face. Before he fell, Broad caught his collar and punched him again.
"I was there too, and I say you're a liar."
And Broad punched him one more time.
"The young lion's a fucking hero."
It had been a while since he believed in heroes, but plainly some folk still liked the notion.
"Gave his leg and his arm for the people."
Broad flung the man against the wall of the House of Questions, so he bounced off and rolled on the cobbles, hands clasped to his broken face.
"A cheer for the young lion,"
bellowed Brint, stepping forwards with his one fist raised. Like that, the mood was changed back and they were cheering again. Leo Dunbrock jolting about on that dancing man's shoulders with his stump in the air and his limp arm flopping.
"Wish I could get him down," said Broad.
Savine shook her head.
"I have a feeling it will be safer for us all if he stays up there."
"That was quick and decisive action,"
murmured Brint, pressing the lenses back into Broad's aching hand.
"You were a ladderman?"
Broad frowned down at his tattoo. He realized there was a little piece of tooth stuck between two of his scarred knuckles.
"I was,"
he said, wincing as he picked it out and flicked it away. Brint watched the crowd cheer as they bounced Brock on their shoulders.
"The Union will need men like you in the days to come. Someone will have to restore order." "My family needs me. That's what matters."
"Of course," said Brint. "But you may serve them best by serving here."
Broad slowly hooked his lenses over his ears, carefully settled them into that familiar groove on the bridge of his nose, and gave a heavy sigh. He'd sworn to keep away from trouble, but here was the problem. Trouble wouldn't keep away from him.